Okay, today's daf is Lamed Zayin. We're going to start toward the bottom of Lamed Vav Amud Bet. We'll read our refuah shleimot. Tavara bat Dina, Oz Avram Shum ben Chana, Karmit bat Nehima, Orli Pnina bat Rachel Frida, Chaya Malka, Esther bat Tzipora, Daniel ben Miriam Chaya Rut, Yosef ben Rachel, Leah bat Rivka, Rafal, Yoshua Falek ben Bracha Batya, Yenta Miriam bat Chana Rachel, Avraham ben Zohara, Yael Miriam bat Chaya. Okay, yesterday we ended with this very interesting discussion by two different rabbis, not a discussion actually, but each one made separate statements, one saying, if I had the koach, I would cancel the takana of prizbal, which was a very strong statement saying, I think this prizbal is a bad thing. And the other opinion was saying, if I had the power, I would be mikayim, which the Gemara said, what do you mean you'd be mikayim? And then the answer given was, oh, well, I meant, or they explained what he meant, what it must be he meant, because how could he say, I would be Mekayim, it is Kayam. So he'd say that if you didn't have it, I would say it as if you had it. In other words, just that you wouldn't even need to write down, it would just be there, no matter, like it would be an automatic. Okay, so now the question's going to be, now we're going back to the first opinion. So first of all, it's just an interesting historically, how prizbal was perceived differently by different people. Is this a good thing? Is it not a good thing? You know, do we want to have this takana or do we not want to? And I think that it really reflects the earlier discussion there was on the daf, which is how could we be overriding something that's doraita? You know, on the other hand, we have to look out for the welfare of the poor people, so the people actually, you know, people lend them money, and there's this struggle between what the Torah says and trying to even keep within the spirit of the Torah. Right? There's the concept that your chavot are supposed to be canceled. On the other hand, we have this issue that nobody's lending money anymore, and how could we have a society where nobody lends money? So it's the whole idea is to help the poor people, but if it's not helping the poor people, well then what's the point? Right? So there's a struggle with it, and you see that here within the sugya. Okay, now we're gonna, if you remember, the guy who said he wanted to cancel it, he said that it was ulba de dayane. Okay, hi prusbola ulba de dayanehu. Okay, that was how he started his statement. So now we want to understand this word, ulbana. Okay, in Hebrew we have the word elbon. Right, how would you translate elbon? Shame. I think shame is a good translation. So now the Gemara is going to try to understand. Hi, ulbana, lishna de chutzpahu, o lishna de nichutahu. It says it's ulbana de dayane. It's the elbon of the dayanim. Is that something that's chutzpah? It's chutzpah of the dayanim? Or is it nichuta? Is it good for the dayanim? So tashma damar ula, aluva kala shezinta bekerev chupata. Okay, the kala, who's mizaneh, right in the chupa, right there as she's getting married, she is aluva, okay, disgraceful. Okay, so obviously it's a disgrace of the dayanim. Amar of Mary Bered Bat Shmuel, Mikra, where do you have a pasuk that shows this? Ad Shehamelech B'misibo Nirdina Tamrecho. In other words, they want to find a pasuk now for what, how you know it's aluva, not the translation of aluva. How do you know that a kalash is in Tabakar of Chupata is aluva? And now, like we've made many times comparisons between B'nai Yisrael and a kala, right? Our relationship to God is like a kala to a chatan. So here's a pasuk from Shir HaShirim, Ad Shehamelech B'misibo Nirdina Tamrecho. Okay, Amar Rava. Rava translate this pasuk. Adayin chavivutahu gaban. The translation of the pasuk he doesn't explain. It means while the king is still in his party, right? There's something that smells bad, right? He's still in his party and his glory, and all of a sudden something goes wrong. Okay, that's like the Jews, right? And God is in his glory, and the Jews are already. It's from like Parsha Pashalach, right? You know, there's Kriyat Yam Suf. Next week's Parsha, Kriyat Yam Suf. Everything's right. Everything's you know, everything's great. And then immediately they start complaining, right? Like, how could that be, right? They were in, like, the moment of glory, and immediately they start complaining. Amar Rava, adayin chavivutahu gaban. But it's still, God still views them with love. How do we know this? Dichtiv, natan velo katuv hisriach. Doesn't say nirdi, or, you know, recho hisriach. It says, Nirdin Natan Recho, you know, it gave its smell, which means it gave off a bad smell. But it doesn't say it in the words, that could be really bad. Tana Rabbanan, another thing about this aluvim, Hane'elavim ve'enan olvim, shom'im charpatam ve'em eshivim, osim me'ahava usmechim b'yisurim. Aleihem ha'katuv omer, vo'avav k'tzei t'ashemesh b'gvurato. Those who become shamed, but they don't shame others, they hear their cherpa. Okay, what do? They accept criticism, and they don't give it back to other people. Okay, that's like those who are osem ava and smichim yisurim. Okay, they accept the suffering that God brings upon them, but they still worship God me'ahava. And this is what the pasuk says: va'avav kitzet haShemesh b'gvurato. Now we're getting back to our issue. That was just different explanations of how we know that olvim, right? Clearly the Gemara didn't know the word, right? What it meant to be aluv. So they tried to figure out, where do we get it from? My prusbal. I'm Rav Chista, pros buli buti. Now we want to get the etymology of prusbal. Here at the very, very top now of Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph. Buli elu ashirin. Dichtiv, right? Clearly prusbal is not from the Hebrew language, right? So what is buli? Buli is ashirim. Dichtiv v'shibarti et gaon uschem. Okay, and I broke your pride. Those are the ashirim. V'tani Rav Yosef. Okay, on that pasuk, here's going to be our proof that we know that buli are ashirim. On the pasuk of I broke your glory, Rav Yosef says, or your pride, Rav Yosef says, elu bula ot shebi Yehuda. Okay, so now you see the bula ot shebi Yehuda are those who are the rich people of Yehuda. Buti, elu aniim. Okay, they're the poor people. How do we know this? Dichtiv ha'aveta avitenu. Right, that's if you have a, right, this is a reference to you should lend money to a person who needs. Who's a person who needs money? A poor person. So you see the shoresh ha'aveta is like buti. Obviously the ayin has to drop here, right, to have the same shoresh. But often there you can play with roots like that. Okay? But it's very strange because buti clearly seems to be not from the Hebrew language, and ha'aveta avitenu is from the Hebrew language. But sort of say maybe the languages are connected, or the rabbis are just trying to find some sort of proof in the text for it, even though it's really not the source for the word. Amar le Rava lilaoza. Okay, Rava said to the laoza, who can figure out what the laoza is? You know, Rashi always says bilaz. Laaz is loazit, right? In Hebrew, even they say loazit, right? That's your English name. Right, so he spoke to the guy who knows languages, okay, the Loazi. And he said to him, my prusbal. So now all of a sudden the Gemara is saying, oh, maybe the sources aren't, right, maybe it's not in the Hebrew text that we can find the source. Amarle pursa demilta. Okay, he says, it's not exactly clear what this pursa demilta is, but it's a takanat davar is one of the translations, okay? It's a takana for something. That's what it means. And that's why they call this prusbal. Okay, which then shows it's just a general concept of a takana, right? But then our rabbis use it specifically for this takana. But according to this, it's just a general term for a takana. And then they just took it and used it in their language for this specific takana. Whereas opposed to the first interpretation, that the buli and the buti are the ashirim and the aniim. Now, why is it for the ashirim and the aniim? It's for both, right? Because it helps the aniim because they get loans. Otherwise, people aren't going to lend them money. And it helps the ashirim because, right, to stay ashirim, because people will actually pay them back their money. Okay, so it helps them both. B'chein tani rami barchama. Sorry, I skipped a line. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Yitomim ein tzrichim prusbal. B'chein tani rami barchama. Yitomim ein tzrichim prusbal. Why is that? D'rabban gamliel u'beit dino avihen shel yitomim. If the Yitomim come to claim a loan that their father had, right, the father had lent money out to someone, they want to collect the money, comes the Shemitah year, there was no Prusbal, or let's say Prusbal, right, it's not clear, has Prusbal passed already, has Shemitah passed already or not? By the way, we'll see this soon also. Shemitah, it only is at the end of the Shemitah year that the loan gets canceled. Okay, during the Shemitah year, you can still collect your loan, only after the Shemitah year does it get canceled. So now what we learned yesterday was that if you have your shtarot in the Beit Din, right, if the Beit Din takes responsibility for your loan, then you don't even need a prusbal. That's as good as anything. So what do they claim here? Yitomim are the responsibility of the courts. So basically the courts act on behalf of the Yitomim, and therefore any loan that the father had, as soon as he dies, it goes to the jurisdiction of the courts, in which case there's no need for prusbal at all. Okay, what we're going to start to see on this daf is that until now we made this takana prusbal. Now we're going to see, and then we saw two different opinions. Is it a good thing or is it a bad thing? We're going to see as time goes on now that they're going to try to make prusbal so, right? We saw that opinion of the guy who said that even if you don't write it, it's as if you wrote it. So we're going to start to see all these kulas they made to try to have Pruz Bol affected, even if you either didn't make a Pruz Bol or you lost your Pruz Bol star and you don't have it anymore. They're going to make it very easy to recollect these loans. Okay, they're going to make suggestions. We're going to see all sorts of things. If you didn't write a Pruz Bol, things we can do. Okay, so we're going to start to see all sorts of things. Although, with that, there's also going to be a few conditions in order to allow Pruz Bol to work. So the first thing is the atonement. We're going to basically remove them from the need for Pruz Bol entirely because we're going to say that the Beit Din is responsible for them, in which case there's no need for Pruz Bol. Tnan Hatam, here's another Mishnah. Ein kotvim Pruz Bol ela ala karka. Okay, now here, like I said, we're going to see a few things that go the other way. In order to make a Pruz Bol, you have to have some land, the loved. The guy who borrowed money has to own some land. Because if he doesn't own land, okay, now here's the question. Why? Why does he have to own land in order to do Pruz Bol? So one of the reasons is that generally when we make a takana, we make a takana in the broadest, you know, the most common case possible. We don't make it in a case that's rare. And the assumption is that most people don't lend money unless people actually have land. Otherwise, they know they'll never be able to collect their loan back. The guy just, you know, we've always learned that if you take a loan, right, particularly if you write it down, if it's just a milval pen, no. But if you write down a shtar, then you're allowed to collect that money from any property the guy owns presently. Remember, even if he sells it, you can go take that land from him. That's called nechasim sheyesh lam achrayut. Right? They have responsibility. So if I own a house and I take out a loan and then I sell my house, the person can go demand it from my house, assuming I sold the house after I took the loan out. So generally, people tried only to loan money, which is counterintuitive because in the end, the real poor people who have no land often didn't really get loans because people, just like you go to the bank now, you want to get a loan, the bank wants to see that you can actually pay back the money.
Does every loan have a
Pruz Bol? No, that's the thing. Only if you write a star Pruz Bol do you have Pruz Bol. But we're going to see all sorts of things about it, how they tried to get around even, or not exactly get around it. That's why we said, if you're a Yatom and the father didn't write a Pruz Bol, you're okay, because the Beit Din takes responsibility for it. By writing a Pruz Bol, what you're doing is, you're basically saying, I want the Beit Din to take responsibility. And when the Beit Din comes in, there's no laws of Shemitah Ksafim, because what did we see? It says, Lo Yigos, right, Achicha, or in the Pasuk it says Achicha. So because it's Achicha and Re'echa, it's only friend to friend and not court to human, you know, to person. Okay, so now, there's this halacha, which you're going to see what they're going to do with it, okay? Because this halacha obviously made it very difficult. Because if you say only people who have land, by the way, there's another reason. There's two exceptions to the Shemitah Ksafim rule, okay? Shemitah Ksafim doesn't apply in the case where Moser Shtarotav le Beit Din, okay? If you bring your Shtarot to the Beit Din. The second case it doesn't apply is if you're Malveh al Hamashkon. Okay, what does that mean? You give a collateral, okay? I give my watch. Okay, let's say it's worth close to the value of the loan, and I say in the event that I don't pay you back, you can take my watch. In that case, what do they say? There's no lo yigos anymore, because what is lo yigos? Lo yigos means, right, you're going to, ligos is to collect the loan. This loan doesn't need collecting anymore, because if I don't pay it back, you'll just keep my watch, and you'll have your money back. So basically, if you're malvel amashkon, it doesn't count. So some people say that that's why you need karka in order for Pruz Bol to work, because Pruz Bol works based on this concept of Mavel HaMashkon, not just Moshe Shtartav the Beit Din, but also Mavel HaMashkon, that it's as if, since I have land, it's as if you could just take that land and it's as if it doesn't even need me to have to pay you back, because you can just come and seize the land and that's it. Okay, so there's two different reasons. Either because it's the most common case and to loan without land is just uncommon, or because it's like Mavel HaMashkon. Because also, the Beit Din can come in and take my property for you, right? They can come seize my property. In which case, it's like Mavel HaMashkon. Okay, so now, so what happens if you don't have land? Okay, so now, all these poor people who, right, the like poor in two meanings, right? The Nebuch poor people who have no land, how are they going to, right? They're going to take out a loan, and then their loan, right, that they no one's going to lend them money at all because, right. Number one, they have no land, so the people know they can't collect from the land. And number two, they know that Shemitah is going to cancel the loan, and there's no Pruz Bol they can write, because we just learned that you can't write Pruz Bol unless they have land. So now what does the Mishnah tell us? V'im ein lo, mizakehu b'toch sadehu kol shehu. If he doesn't have land, you can be mizakeh him. You can say, I'm giving you a teeny little corner of my land, and that's enough to consider that he has land. Okay, so it's a loophole, right? It's saying, okay, give him a kinyan on its little teeny part of your land, and that's enough. Remember, we saw with this Tina Dabai, I think it was, right, that even if you have a little bit of land, right, you can give back the land instead of the loan, and then you can buy back the land, and then one piece of land can turn into a lot more. We saw that a few days ago. Okay, so now, Amar Rav Chiya Bar Ashi, Amar Rav, Afilu Kelach Shel Kruv. Okay, there's two interpretations of what this means. Okay, a Kelach Shel Kruv is a leaf of a cabbage. Okay, even if you only have enough land that grows like a teeny leaf of cabbage, okay, and that's the amount of land you have, even that's enough. Or some people say, they're saying, even if you don't own land, but you own this piece of cabbage that's growing, since the cabbage is connected to the ground, right, mechubar lekarka, it's as if you own the land. Okay, those are two interpretations of this kelach shel kruv. But obviously what they're trying to say is, even if you have a teeny little bit of land or something that's connected to the land, it's okay. Amar Rav Yehuda, okay, we're seeing how they're all just trying to help these poor people out. Amar Rav Yehuda, afilu hish'ilo makom letanur velekiraim. Let's say you have a tanur kiraim, okay, that's not land, that's metaltalin. Okay, but you somebody loans you space to put your oven down. Okay? So if they loan you that space, not even, right, they're not renting it to you, you're not paying for it, it's not owned by you, they just loan you the space, then that space is enough to write a pruzbal on it. So they say, Ini, is that really true? Bahatana Hillel ain't kutvim pruzbal ela alatzitz nakuv bilvad. What does that seem to imply? Nakuv in she'eno nakuv lo. Meaning if you own an atzitz that has holes in it. So again, what do we assume? The atzitz is attached to the ground because of the holes. So then it's like the kelach shel kruv, right? Even though you don't own the land, you own this atzitz, which is in theory connected to the land, that makes it okay. But if you own just an atzitz that didn't have a hole, then what would be the case? That would be just like the tanur and kiraim. That you have a space to put it down on the ground, but you don't own that land. So why wouldn't that be enough? So what do they say? No, you could explain that when Hillel said that, what did he mean? Okay, first they ask here, I didn't read the whole thing. Amai v'ha'ika mekomo, in other words, you have the space, and that should be enough. Lo tzricha demana chasiche. He's talking about an atzitz that's on sticks, okay? So you have it raised above the ground, and then you don't even have the space underneath, because the space underneath, right, it's not connected to the space underneath. It's on these big, tall pegs, and then it's not attached to the ground anymore, and then you don't even have the space underneath, because it could be that space, you know, could be used for other things, if it's like standing on stilts or something. Okay, so that's their explanation. Again, it's a little dachuk, but that's how they can explain this opinion, even according to Hillel. Rav Ashi mafne la gidma didikla. Okay, he would be makne someone, what's the gidma? It's of a dekel tree, a palm tree. I forgot what gidma. A geza, right, the trunk of a dekel tree. And that would be enough. A katav alei pruzbal. Rabbanan debe Rav Ashi, masre mile lahadade. Rabbi Yonatan, masre mile le Rabbi Chiya bar Abba. So here they said, they didn't even write a shtar pruzbal, okay? But they said it. They said it in words. And that was already enough. In other words, they said to the Beit Din, we're being mosir these shtarot to you. Nothing was written or signed. Remember, the Mishnah said everything had to be written or signed, either by Dayanim or Eidim. So now we're going even farther to say, even if you just say it without writing it, it's sufficient. Okay? And then we showed two people who said this. Amar lei, tzrichna midi achrina. So when he did it, when Rabbi Yonatan gave it to Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, he said, do you need anything else? Amar lei, lo tzrichat. He said, no, I don't need anything else. Tana Rabbanan, ein lo karka. Let's say he doesn't have any karka. Okay, here's another bright about this. Ula arev yesh lo karka. But the guy who is his guarantor has, right, you usually have a guarantor in a loan. Let's say you're poor, but someone else will take responsibility for you. So if he has karka, then also that's enough. Kotvin ala pruzbo. Lo v'la arev ein lo karka. Let's say neither of them have land. Ula chayav lo yesh lo karka. But there's someone who owes them money. And the person who owes them money has land. Okay, so now we're getting even more removed, right? It's not just the person. It's not just his guarantor, but let's say the guarantor is owed money by somebody, and the person who owes the money has land. So you see how it's all connected now? So now they're going to say, Kotvina lav pruzbal. Why? Mide Rabbi Natan. We've actually seen this. This is very famous. This is called Shibuda de Rabbi Natan. Okay, what does he say? It's like the transitive property in math. Okay, this is what it is. Ditanya, Rabbi Natan omer, minayin lenoshe b'chaviro mane, b'chaviro b'chaviro, minayin shemotziim mizeh v'notznim lezeh, tamud lomar v'natan la'asher asham. From here he learns that you can, if someone owes you money, and someone else owes that person money, and that person doesn't pay you back, you can take it directly from the other person. Okay, so therefore, if neither of them have land, but someone who owes them money has land, since according to Rabbi Natan, you can collect your money from that person, and that person has land, then you can write a Puzbol Shtar on that. Okay? Tznan Hatam. Another Mishnah. Hashvi'it meshametet et hamalve, bein b'shtar, bein shelo b'shtar. Okay, the Shvi'it cancels out a loan, whether you wrote a shtar or whether you didn't write a shtar. Okay, so now we're going to interpret this. Now you can look at the chart on the sheet. Okay, I didn't pass around the sheet. I pass them around. So now there's a machloket between, you can see already, Rav and Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, what these cases are, bein b'shtar, bein shelo b'shtar. Okay, now, obviously, according to this line, Shvi'it is mishametet, whether you have a shtar or whether you don't have a shtar. So no matter how we translate it, all the cases we translate are going to be, the loan is going to be canceled. But depending on how you translate it, what's not included in this sentence? And what's not included in this sentence, then we're going to assume that Shemitah doesn't cancel that type of loan. So let's see. And you're going to have to remember this because we're going to come back to this later, okay? We're going to get to a very interesting line when they try to apply Rabbi Yochanan's halacha, and Rabbi Yochanan said his interpretation, and he says, oh, don't paskin like my interpretation, which is obviously very interesting. We'll get to that soon. Okay, so now Rav Shmuel d'Amrei Travayu, both Rav and Shmuel say, Bishtar means shtar sheyesh bo achrayu nechasim. Okay, that's a shtar where there's, right, any land will be connected to that loan, right? Basically, you have a lien on the person's property. Shelo bishtar is she'en bo achrayu nechasim. Okay, a shtar where you say, I'm not letting my property be responsible for this loan, right? I'm not letting you have a lien on my property. And kol shekein a mil bal peh. Obviously, also, if you had an agreement bal peh, where we talked about before, that if I gave you a loan and we didn't write it down in a shtar, then you can't come collect it from my property. So now it's saying, according to this interpretation, shvi'it is mishametet all types of loans, right? Whether they have a chayat nechasim or they don't. Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, Da'amrei Travai, who both of them agree that bishtar is shtar she'ein bo achrayut nechasim. Okay, shtar means that it's a shtar where there was no responsibility, there's no lien on my property. And shelo bishtar is milva al peh. Okay, and then shelo bishtar would just be a milva al peh. But what would be, what's excluded here? Aval shtar she'yesh bo achrayut nechasim. And this goes back to what we talked about before. If there's, you have a lien on my property, then it's basically like your mavel amashkon. It's like you have a collateral in your hand for me because you can come collect that anytime, in which case there's no need for the collecting of the loan. And the whole issue of Shemitah is connected to this concept of lo yigos. You can't, right, that you, that if you have to collect it, you can't go collect it. But this doesn't need to be collected because it's as if that property already belongs to me. So therefore, according to Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, Shvi'it does not cancel a loan where there's a lien on the property. Okay? So hold that in your head because we're going to get to a case in a little while about it. Tanya kavatei de Rabbi Yochanan ben Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. Okay? First, they bring a braita to support that opinion. Shtar chov mishamet. Okay? A regular shtar chov is mishamet. It gets canceled. V'im yesh bo achrayut nechasim eino mishamet. Okay? But if it doesn't have responsibility, right, for the property, a lien on the property, then it doesn't cancel the loan. So there you have it perfectly, exactly what they said.
It doesn't
cancel the loan.
If it does have,
if you have a lien on the property, then there's Shemitah doesn't cancel your loan at all. Forget about Prusbol, right? You don't even need Prusbol in that case. Tanya Idach, another Braita. Siyem lo sadeh echa behalvato eno meshamet. If you say, let's say I take out a loan, and I say to the person who I borrowed money from, here's this property, part of my property, and if I don't pay you back, take it from here. That's what I mean, siyemlo. He showed him. He specified a particular area. Then it's really like mavel amashkon, and Shvi doesn't cancel that loan. Belod ela afilu katav. Okay, not only that, but even if he wrote, the Braita continues, this is again a proof for Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish, kol nechsayai achrayim va'arevim lecha. Okay, even if he said all my property, anything from my property is, you know, you can take it back, then it's not mishamet. Okay, now we're going to see some cases. Krevei de Rabbi Asi, the relatives of Rabbi Asi, you often see this, right? Because the relatives go to the rabbi of their, you know, their relative to ask him for help. Krevei de Rabbi Asi, havelei hahushtara, davakatev be achrayut nechasim. Okay, now you have to remember that relatives is always tricky. On the one hand, you want to help them. On the other hand, it's a little dangerous for a rabbi to start passing things for his relatives that people might be suspect of. So what happens here? They come to him with a shtar that has achrayut nechasim, okay? And they say, and Atal Kamej Rabbi Asi, Amarle, Mishamet, Oino Mishamet. What's the story? Is this loan canceled or is it not canceled? Amarle, Eino Mishamet. They say it's not canceled. He says it's not canceled. Shavke Ba'ate Lakamej Rabbi Yochanan. They go in front of Rabbi Yochanan and they want to get a second opinion. Okay? Right. What's the issue here? I forgot. Right. The relative is the Malve. Okay? And he wants, right, no, so he would want, Dabke, he would want it not to be canceled, so why would he actually go for a second opinion? Right, it's a good question why he went for a second opinion. Okay, maybe he just wanted to be sure that people didn't suspect his relative of helping him or something, I'm not sure exactly. But then he goes in front of Rabbi Yochanan. Amar lei mishamet. Rabbi Yochanan says, your loan is canceled. Now, remember, rewind, what did Rabbi Yochanan say in this kind of case? The loan wouldn't be canceled, because remember, that was Rabbi Yochanan's whole chidush. Rabbi Yochanan said that the loan is not canceled if you have achrayut nechasim. So, ata Rabbi Asi, lekamei de Rabbi Yochanan. So now Rabbi Asi, who basically paskin like Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Yochanan himself didn't paskin like Rabbi Yochanan, he goes to Rabbi Yochanan, Amar lei mishamet o eino mishamet. So he asks him the same question. Amar lei mishamet. He says it's canceled. So then Rabbi Asi says, "Vahara marhuda amare no mishamet." But you're the one who taught me that it's not mishamet. So I don't understand. Amar le, and here's a very famous line: "Dechi mipnei sha'anu midamim naaseh maaseh." Okay, are we gonna now force this ani to pay back this money, right? Just because this is the way, and as I was interpreting a mishnah, okay, what this means: "Hashvi mishamet etam milva bein b'shtar bein shelo b'shtar." I was interpreting a Mishnah. Just because I have a, you know, this is what I think the Mishnah means, doesn't mean I'm actually going to act upon it. Okay? And that's a very, yeah. Right, it's a very problematic line because it's saying, it's problematic. It's saying that there's a difference between how you can interpret things and then practically speaking how we go about doing things. And he wasn't willing to say, oh, you don't have to pay back this loan. Just because he thought that that's what the Mishnah meant.
So on the basis of what can he say that? He has to pin it on something if he's going to say the opposite, right?
He's just saying, right. So then he's saying, I want to be on the safe side. And, you know, the question here is, that what's the safe side? Because you're affecting two different people. It's, you know.
But you could also say that maybe he's has a sort of modern notion of you can't just see halakha as black and white. You have to do it case by case.
Ah, yafes. So what Sherry's pointing out is maybe there's more here to hear than what meets the eye. In other words, maybe he wanted, in this particular case, he thought that maybe the poor person really could afford to pay back the money, and you know, and maybe he wanted to go that way because he saw other things here and was using the text to kind of, you know, or using a line to kind of support what he saw from his perspective. But then it's dangerous because he's obviously setting a precedent, and that's always the danger of psak. Are people going to take what you say and apply it? Like here, all the more so. Rabbi Asi wanted to apply what he said, right, to a particular case. And Rabbi Yochanan said, oh, don't apply what I said. It's very dangerous waters here, exactly what's going on. Anyway, it continues for a minute, and you'll see maybe why. Amar le bahatanya kavate demar, but you even had a brayta to support you. Remember, all the braytot supported Rabbi Yochanan of Mishlachisha, not the other interpretation. Amar le dil mahi beit shamahi. Maybe that's all Beit Shammai's opinion, and maybe that's part of what motivated him. In other words, there's one thing to interpret a Mishnah, but it doesn't mean that we paskin like the Mishnah. Okay? Because there's a difference in terms of what you're learning, and there's a difference in terms of psikat halacha. And he had a concern that maybe this Mishnah went alibi de Beit Shammai. What Beit Shammai? We're going to see right now. Da Amre, here Beit Shammai has this other opinion in another case. The shtar ha'omed ligvot ki gavoy dame. A shtar. Okay, we saw this in Sota, that a shtar that can be collected is as if it's already collected. And that's what he's claiming here. That because you left land, then this is a shtar that will be collected at some point, because you can always take the land. Whether you take it from that person or you take it from the person you sold it to, it can always be collected. And therefore, since it can always be collected, it's as if it was already collected. And that's why I'm not going to let the loan get canceled out here, because... in other words, because that's all based, this is all based, the whole logic of the achrayut nechassim, making, right, not allowing Shemitah to kick in, is because achrayut nechassim is as if it's shtar ha'omed ligavot, and it's as if it's kigavoy dami. And that's only Beit Shammai's opinion. We don't hold like Beit Shammai. So while he interpreted the Mishnah in one way, he's claiming that maybe the Mishnah is Beit Shammai's opinion. And maybe the Braita we saw also Beit Shammai's opinion. And, and we don't paskin like Beit Shammai. So maybe that's why. In other words, he thought that the whole concept was based on this principle of shtar ha'omed ligavot kigavoy dami, and that is not agreed upon by everybody. So in other words, he interpreted a Mishnah, but he's claiming that the Mishnah isn't lafi, the shita that we paskin like. Okay? It's still a little difficult, because these are the basic Mishnayot. Without, they're not mentioned with anyone who argues with them or anything else. Okay. But anyway, that's a very famous line. It's a big, you know, when you talk about psikat halacha, sometimes, you know, that comes into play, which is obviously somewhat difficult, because you want people to have broad shoulders and say, if I think this, then I'm going to act upon it and I'm going to paskin this way. But obviously, when you paskin halacha, like Shari said, there's all different things that have to come into play. It's not just black and white. Tnan hatam. Now we're going to finally see the source of what I put on the board. Hamoveh chaveron ma'ot al hamashkon v'hamoser shtarotav lebeitin ei mishamtin. So now they're going to go into these cases. Bishlama moser shtarotav lebeitin detafse lehu beitina, because it's as if the beitin already can claim the land, right? And therefore it's their responsibility. And there's no shmitah ksafim for the beitin. Ela maveh al hamashkon my time, huh? So what about maveh al hamashkon? So I'm a rabbi mishum detafis le. It's as if he, right, if you're maveh al hamashkon, he already has the mashkon in his hand, and it's as if he already got paid back the loan. Amar le abaye ela me'ata, but from there you could derive another case. What if hilvehu, he lends him money, vidar b'chatzero, and he's living in his property. Now that's a case, detafis le. Hachanami de lo mashamet, if I lend you money and you happen to be living in my chatzer, so do I say because you're in my property, so it's as if you belong to me and it's as if I've already collected my loan because you're in my property? Like, that doesn't make any sense. It's, what's he saying? Just because I have your collateral in my property doesn't mean it's mine. Just because you, and Abai is bringing an extreme case. So what, you're saying if somebody lives in your property, they're yours? And when I have your collateral in my property, I took your watch sits on my shelf, I don't touch it, I don't use it, it's not mine, it doesn't have my name on it, it has your name on it. It's just housed in my house, okay? So you're going to say, oh, well, if the person's housed in my house, then it's as if everything he has is mine, in which case I've already collected a loan? Of course you're not going to say that. So therefore, he doesn't agree with him. So now what does he say? Amar lei shanei mashkon. No, mashkon is different than someone living in your property. Why? Dekane lei, because you actually make a kinyan on the mashkon. Midi Rabbi Yitzchak, because Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, minayin lebal chov shekoneh mashkon, shenemar ulecha tiyet tzedaka. Where's that pasuk? That's the pasuk about the mashkon. What does it say? Hashev tashiv lo et ha'avot kivo ha'shemesh. Remember, you're supposed to return. If you take like a blanket from someone, let's say, as a collateral, you have to return it to him every night so he has it with him to sleep with. B'shachav b'salmato, okay, whether it's a blanket or a clothes or whatever, uberachacha, ulecha tiyet tzedaka lefnei Hashem Elokecha. And you will be perceived as righteous in front of God. Now, what does it mean you'll be perceived as righteous? Right? You'll only be perceived as righteous if that collateral belonged to you and you're actually giving it back to him. If it's his, then just because you're returning it doesn't make you a righteous person. So therefore, I may no konet tzedaka minayin. Nikan lebalchov shakone mashkon. Okay, from here we learn that the balchov actually acquires the mashkon, because the fact that it's called that you will be righteous if you return it shows that you must have some sort of ownership over it. Tnan hatam, new mishnah. Hamachzir chov lechaviro b'shvi'it tzarich shiomar lo mishametani. Okay, now we get to a case where there's no prosbom. You go to return the loan. Let's say you return the loan. Maybe you don't realize it's Shemitah, and the Shemitah came and canceled it, or you want to return it anyway. So you go to return the loan. Tzarich shiomar lo, the malveh has to say to him, mishametani. Oh, you don't have to return the loan. It's canceled. V'imamar lo, apa pichein. But if the person says to him, I want to return it anyway, so this is a good question, right? Are you allowed to? Are you allowed to return a loan anyway? Yikabel hemenu, you can. How do we know this? Shenemar v'zed dvar hashmita, Amar Rabba, v'talele ad amar hachi. Okay, because it says v'zeh dvar ha-shmitah, okay, what does it mean, zeh dvar ha-shmitah? Dibur of Shemitah. In other words, what's this teaching you? You have to say the words mishametani. Okay, and if someone comes to give you, you have to say dvar Shemitah, you have to say dvarim of Shemitah, you have to say, no, this loan is canceled. But if the person wants to give it to you anyway, they're allowed to. So Amar Rabba, not only are they allowed to, but this is very interesting, okay? Bitalele ad amar hachi. Okay, I don't know exactly what they mean, talele here, but you hang the guy until he says, apapichen. In other words, you follow? He has to give you, it's like a game. You say, he says, I want to give it back. You say, I cancel the loan. Or the loan is canceled by Shemitah. And then the guy is supposed to say, I anyway want to give it back to you. Okay? It's a little bit of a game. So now we're going to see an interesting story. So first of all, Etive Abaya, Abaya asks, Kishuhu no tainlo, when he gives it to him, okay, the source says like this, Kishuhu no tainlo, when he does give him back the money on the Shemitah year, Al yomar lo b'chovi ani noten lecha, ela yomar lo shelihen ubematana ani noten lecha. Okay, so he says, you can't, when you return it, you can't say, I'm giving you back your money. You have to say, I know I don't have to give you back the money. The afal pichen really means, I know I don't want to give you back the money, but I'm going to give it to you as a gift. Amar le, so he's saying, so what do you mean that he has to say, afal pichen? So Rabbi explains, no, Amar le, tale le nami ad amar hachi. In other words, it's not just that he has to say, you can force him to say, apa pichein, but I'm giving you back not b'tor chovi, but b'tor matana. Abba bar marita, here's our story. Tava arba bar minyume, okay, he's the same guy. Hava masik be Rabbi Zuze, okay? Aitina, so I forget who was who. Rehayana sheba ma'ot, Rabbi was the malveh, okay, Rashi says. Rabba was the malveh, and he was going to collect money from this Abba bar Marta. Aitinu niele. So remember what Rabba said. Rabba said, talele ad amar hachi, right? You're supposed to hang the guy till he says it. So what happened here? Aitinu niele b'shvi'it. The guy went to give him the money. Okay, it's obviously not b'shvi'it. The Mefreshim say it's obviously after the shvi'it, after it canceled, because remember, we said at the end of the Shemitah year. Amar le mishametani. So Rabba did what he's supposed to, right? He says, oh, the Shemitah canceled. So what's supposed to happen now? The guy's supposed to say, afa pichin, right? What did the guy do? Shaklinu vazel. Oh, he took his money and he left. Okay. Ata Abaye. Abaye went and saw Rabba. Eshkechei dehaba atziv. He saw he was very upset. He wanted to get his money back, right? He was playing the game, figuring the guy was going to say, afa pichin. So he's very upset now. He didn't get his money back. Amar le, Abaye says to him, amai atziv mar, what are you so upset about? Amar le, hachi avamase. He said, this is what happened. So Abaye, Aza Legabe, he goes to the other guy. Amar le, Amata le Zuze, Lamar, do you have money that belongs to Rabba? Amar le, in. He says, yeah, I do. Amar le, Umay Amar lecha, and what did he say to you? Amar le, so he said to me, Mishametani, it's canceled. Amar le, Vamar le, Afa Pichain, did you say to him, Afa Pichain? Amar le, Lo Amar le, no, I didn't say that. Vi Amar le, Afa Pichain. And so now Abaye says to him, if you had said that, he would have taken the money from you. So he says to him, I want you to go right now, give Rabba back the money and say, okay, so here, not only are you supposed to do, right? Here you see, Abaye made sure that what was supposed to happen, happened. So he goes, and shaklinu minei. Okay, and now what's the last line of the story? Not a necessary line, but it comes anyway. Amar, Rabba now says, Lo hava bedate v'hait sorva merabana meikar. This guy clearly didn't know what he was doing from the beginning. Okay, a little bit of a, dig into him.
This is a horrible story. Because, no, seriously, it's Shemitah year. So the guy just wants to follow Shemitah. The other guy doesn't play, they're all playing this game, and right. He doesn't follow it. These are rabbinic scholars.
Right. It's a difficult story.
Yeah.
But what I think the story is highlighting, and maybe they're picking Abaye and Rabba, these big Rabbanim, to show that really the whole gist of the rabbis was that we want to get rid of this whole Shemitah Kesafim. In other words, we don't believe in it. Like, we have to override it. And you have to see also the tzrachim of the times, right? What the needs were. And they basically said, like, we have to have a system that works if people are paying back loans. We can't live like this. And they basically ensured that it would happen. Right? Al-Kitekach, that the scene happened, and it happened wrong, and they went and fixed it. It's interesting that Rabbi himself at the time didn't say to the guy, you're supposed to say these words. I think it was difficult for him to do that.
The interesting thing was that even after he left, he said when, and who was it, Abaye asked him,
what are you upset about?
And he said, I have Rabbi's money. Meaning that even after he thought...
Oh, the guy. When Abaye went to the guy who lent the money, right? It's almost like the guy who lent the money was happy to give the money back. He just...
Even after...
Right. Yafeh. So I think that what you see here is the guy thought, because Rabbi said, played the game and said, Mishamedani, he thought that he's not allowed to give the money back. And they, you know, Abaye wanted to make it very clear to him, by the way, do you know that if you did, you actually could give the money back anyway? And he was trying to teach him what you're supposed to do. And which shows us, first of all, not everybody knew what to do. And they even call him a Tzorvim Rabbanan, which means he was a Tamei Chacham. He just didn't know it, all the halacha. Anyway, that's another interesting story to add to today's
Sass. This is in Gittin, because the whole thing maybe is teaching us. Yeah,
the issue of giving the get, right. So it's all connected, because in all these cases there was a need for tikkun olam, right? There was something that doesn't always work smoothly, and sometimes they need finagling. Now it happens that tikkun olam isn't exactly that issue. It's about the edim chotmim al get. But yes, I think what Don is saying is very true, is that it's the same as forcing the guy to give the get, ad shema rotzeani, right? It's this playing this game to try to get things to work out halachically, to make sure that there is peace in the world, that there is, things are functioning the way they're supposed to.
But they figured out a solution, a prosbul for loans, but they didn't really figure out a solution for agunot.
Right. So prosbul was a very easy solution for the loans, whereas for the agunot, it obviously wasn't as simple and not as easy to come up with the takana. And that's, again, the whole issue of how can you override a d'oraita, and what you can change, what you can't change. It's very tricky. Okay. Amar Rav Yehuda, now we're going to see one more aspect of this, and we'll stop at the Mishnah for today. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav Nachman, Ne'eman Adam Lomar, Pruzbol Haya B'Yadi V'Avad Mimeni. Okay, if you go to collect with a Pruzbol, right, the case we saw before was there wasn't a Shtar Pruzbol. But now if you have a Shtar Pruzbol, but you can't find it, right, so you can say, I had a Pruzbol, but I lost it. My time, okay, now this is another, there's a lot of interesting lines in today's daf about general principles that hold in many different situations. So like, v'chi mipnei she'anu medabim na'aseh ma'aseh, that was a very famous one, although problematic. Okay, now we're going to see another one. Kevan detkina rabbanan pruzbol, lo shavik hetera va'achel isura. There's a concept that if you have given a choice between doing heter and doing isur, what do we assume a person's going to do? Heter. So if this person really wanted to collect his loan and there was a mutar way to do it, we can assume that he did it. Okay? So therefore, if he claims that he had a pruzbol and he lost it, we assume that he's telling the truth, because we assume that if he had the choice, given the choice, he would have done it beheter. Okay? This obviously doesn't take into consideration lazy people or people who forget, right? Forgetful people who just forgot to do a pruzbol. But the assumption is that since people know the Shemitah year is ending, right? Anyone who is aware, right, at the end of the Shemitah year, there was a whole thing going around about writing out Shtar Pruzbol, and it came up. And anyone who wanted to go the Hetcher way, it was easy enough to just figure out how to do a Shtar Pruzbol, sign it, and be done with it. So if you wanted to choose the Hetcher way to do it, then you would have done that, and you wouldn't have done it b'Isur. And therefore, we trust someone who says that I had a Pruzbol and I lost it. Okay, so now we're going to take it even one step further. Ki atu the kamei de Rav, they came before Rav. Amrele. And he didn't have a Shtar Pruzbol. So he says to him, Midi Pruzbol Hayalcha Va'avad? Not only can the guy claim that in court, but we can even suggest it to him. Okay? The guy came into court, didn't have a Shtar Pruzbol to show for it. He didn't say anything like, I don't have one, or I never have one. He didn't say. So Rav said, maybe you have one and you lost it. Mm-hmm. Okay, this is what's called, we're going to see this when it comes to Yatomi, Ta'anin Aleh, that we make ta'anot for them, because they don't know. We assume that people don't know what to claim. We assume, right, how many times, let's say you go buy an item in a store and you lose your receipt. So you figure it's avud, right? They're not going to take it without a receipt. So they might have thought the same thing. The guy might have thought, oh, I don't have pruzbol. You know, I lost it. What am I going to do? They're not going to accept it in court without the shtar. So Rav says to him, well, maybe you had it because you didn't know that you can make this claim. So he claims it for him. This is like Ptach Pichalilim, okay? Right? We open the mouths for the people who don't have to speak. We make claims for people. תנן. וכן בעל חוב שמוציא שטר חוב ואין עמו כרוז בו, הרי אלו לא יפרעו. So now they say, but how could you say this? Because we learned in a Mishnah that a bal chov that takes out a shtar chov, and the Shemitah year has passed, and he doesn't have pruzbal, then the people don't have to pay him back. So what do they answer? Ah, don't worry. Tanaihi, it's a machloket tanaim about this. Titanya motzi shtar chov, tzarich shehem o pruzbal. V'chachamim amrim, eino tzarich. He doesn't necessarily have to have the shtar. There's a machloket. Does he have to have the shtar, or does he not have to have the shtar? And that's a machloket tanaim, and therefore you can say that this goes by, you know, the Rav Nachman and Rav Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda and the name of Rav Nachman went by one opinion here and not by both opinions. There's a machloket about it. Okay, tomorrow we're going to start a whole new topic, but it's okay, we ended here today, about an Eved that gets taken captive. And the question is going to be, if you're Mishachrerotto, okay, you can free him in two ways. You could say, I'm freeing you from captivity, and he's taken by non-Jews. Say, I'm freeing you from captivity, and you're not going to be a slave anymore. Or you can say, I'm freeing you from captivity to go back to being a slave. And then the question is what you said relevant or not? Like, do we say then you're not a slave anymore? You are a slave, under what conditions, depending on whether it was Yeush of the original owner, and we'll talk about it. But the assumption is that someone owned you as a slave, right? You were an Eved Kenani, you got taken captive, and then a third person freed you with certain intent in his mind. And can he go, you know, can he basically have the power to free you or not? And we'll see how it relates to the whole Tikkun Olam theory, because obviously it's going to have to, otherwise it doesn't make any sense that it's here.